Happy 2020. So how's your vision? Not the kind that you can have checked by a doctor, but how's your vision as you look forward, as you look at your family, as you look at the community around us, as you consider the concerns of other people? How's your vision? Are you praying that we will all have 2020 vision when it comes to seeing God and people the way He wants us to see? Let's pray for vision, shall we? And personally and as a ministry. I want you to take your notes out. I'd like to call your attention. You'll see that this, for the most part, with the exception of one question on the back page, a lot of this is very much the same, though with a few more fill-in-the-blanks on the inside. We're talking today about our lives in Christ, in marriage, and in the home, and at work. I want you to focus your attention on questions 5 and 6 on the back of your notes, please. 5 and 6. And as I speak this morning, I want you to have these thoughts in your mind. If you'd just be processing this in your own mind and heart. Question number 5 says, what are your thoughts about the advantages afforded to Christian families? Some of you might be thinking, also, what are some of the disadvantages afforded to being a Christian family? Maybe, I won't even go there, but there could be some thoughts that you have in that regard, and feel free to think those through. But what are some of the advantages? Are there advantages to being in a Christian family? The sixth one is one I want you really to focus on and maybe really do something about this, and that is to create a list, a prayer calendar for the days ahead. Could be a week, a month, all year, but something that you might go to in a prayer journal, just go back to it and say, how am I praying for my immediate family in terms of their behaviors and the dynamics of our family? How are those things going? Are you praying about those things? Or are you on automatic? Are you praying for those things, or are you on automatic to the point, well, we're a Christian family, everything should be fine, right? Well, I hope so, but just being a Christian family doesn't make that so, that everything is a-okay. The next item that could go in that, as you pray for the immediate behaviors of your family and dynamics, pray for friends who are facing serious issues or serious threats to their family health. We all know families, and maybe ours is one of them, that are facing serious issues related to our family health. The next one, pray for marriage relationships within our church family. I meet every week with the elders and for prayer, and one of the most consistent things that we pray about, and we pray for marriage relationships within our families. The next item is pray for our children and those young lives here in this throughout this ministry. Young lives whose family values and actions are being shaped every day by what we teach and by what they see and hear all the time. And then one more item, and I trust you'll take this whole challenge seriously, and that is pray for relationships with those who work for you or alongside of you. Just may we be more faithful as we pray for these things that matter. These are battlefield prayer concerns, because the enemy has all of these things in target, right? They're his target, every single one of them. So let's pray about these items. Make them seriously a matter of prayer. Now you can turn to the inside and also turn to, I'd like you to turn right now in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. We haven't been studying that, but if you're using the Bible in front of you, page 1155. Galatians chapter 5. This is what Paul writes at the toward the end of this this important letter dealing with the law and grace, the law and grace. So this is what Paul says in verse 16, Galatians 5:16. Paul says, so I say this, live by the Spirit. Or you might have a Bible that says, walk in the Spirit. So live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful flesh. For decades now, it seems like every time I see that, I remember somebody challenging me personally. It doesn't say, strain so hard to make sure you don't live by the flesh. And then if you really work hard at not living by the flesh, then you'll be walking in the Spirit. Is that the order of things here? No, it's not. It's not. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I mean, you're listening to the Holy Spirit. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you're interacting with the Holy Spirit, is he going to let you just trip over yourself and do something you really shouldn't do? No, our minds are being shaped by the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It's just the next book of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Follow along as I read verse 15 through verse 21. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise people, making the most of every opportunity as you're careful as to how you live. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what it is. And he goes right on from there. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Some might say, well, I'm free to just go ahead and pound them down like anybody else because I'm saved by grace. Well, you are saved by grace, but that's no excuse. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, and that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit. That's that word we were talking about last week. What does it mean to submit? To put yourself under someone else's authority. To put your interests underneath theirs. And work toward harmony through relationship of submission. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 25. Colossians 3, verses 18 to 25. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 5, right after he said that we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Here he picks it up and he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. There it is once again, out of a fear of the Lord who is present right now, obeying your earthly masters. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not men. Always remembering who that your employer is all the time. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord that is a reward, as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. And finally, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Just a couple of other thoughts, just in summary, about husbands and wives. You'll see in your notes just a couple blanks to fill in. God will show you, wives, listen, God will show you his way as you walk in the Spirit. This is just reality. God will show you his way as you walk in the Spirit and submit to your husbands. What's the key element in there? What's the key idea in there? This is a principle. This regardless of the culture that you've been brought up in, regardless of the home that you've come from, regardless of the time in history and place in the world, this is a biblical principle. God will show you his way. Critically important, as you walk in the Spirit and submit to your husbands, your husband. Second point is a question. What makes you believe that our loving and sovereign God will go before you as you trust him and submit to your husband? It's a question. It's a conscience-probing question. What makes you think? And I throughout my ministry, I've had all sorts of exposures to husbands and wives, and we immediately want to jump to some extreme and say, "But what if he tells you to do something that is a violation?" And this is not really about husbands giving orders and wives just following orders. Yes, sir. Always salute. Click your heels together. You know, say Sig Heil to him. No, it's not about that kind of a relationship. But follow his lead. This is the God-ordained way to go about life. What makes you think or believe that our loving and sovereign God will go before you, even as you just follow your husband's lead and submit to his authority inside of a home? Husbands, God will honor your marriage as what? As you walk in the Spirit. Once again, walking in the Spirit, in communication with God, listening to his word, responding to what his word says, doing what his word says, and keep listening to him when you pray and when you just sit quietly before him. God will honor your marriage as you walk in the Spirit and as you love your wife the way Christ loves the church and sacrificially gave himself up for her. A few more thoughts. Seek the Lord in the knowledge of his will. Walk worthy of the Lord to please him in everything, husbands. Listen well to him. Listen well to him during your best part of the day, the best part, not when you're just about ready to go into la-la land. Guys, listen to him throughout the day and apply what you know. Pay attention to your wife, men. Pay attention to your wife, and those of you who will one day be married, listen, pay attention to your wife, and listen, she has the authority as to if and when you are paying attention to her. Listen to her. Give her thoughtful, sacrificial feedback, and keep listening to her. A couple more thoughts to you men. Spend your personal capital on her. Like what's your personal capital? That would be things like it's just obvious. Spend your money on her. Not just when you're in trouble. I knew one guy that told me that every time he blew it, he had to buy new furniture. And his wife would threaten him until he followed through. It was pretty consistent. But show her that you love her. Sacrifice your submit, your money, your energy, your time, your talents, your attention. Once again, your attention. Sacrifice for her by giving her your personal capital. What do I mean? A little bit more. How about personal transparency? She wants to hear from you and what's going on in your heart. She needs that kind of feedback. Honesty, humility, integrity, confession. All these things are our personal capital, guys. And we need to sacrifice those things for her and because it's right. And one more thing, forgive her. Hey, she's going to blow it too, right? I'm not hearing any amens here, but if you're sitting anywhere near her, you probably wouldn't say that. But forgiveness is something we extend. And if we find yourself hanging out with a list of things that she's been doing wrong, a list that you can retrieve at any moment, good luck with that. But these are the things that are at our disposal that we need to make available to her, guys. Because Jesus said through Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, love her the way Christ loved his church and gave himself up for her right there. He set the table for us. And that's what we need to do with our wives. It also involves sacrificing our pride. But let's go on to children. Children, obey your parents in everything. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Such an important verse. I heard somebody said this is one of the most important verses in the Bible. It says, honor your parents. Children, honor your parents. Is there anybody here that's has been a child? Anybody that is still a child of your parents? Okay, I just wanted to make sure there were no extraterrestrial beings here. But here's the deal. This is for us. This is a principle. Every time you run into principles, these are things that are true for all people in all cultures across time. Until there is no more time, these principles are there. And children of all ages are to honor their parents. I said this person said this is such an important one, and it carries us through life, because this sets the tone for how we will respond to authority. All authority. The authority of an employer, the authority of someone who's a higher rank than you in the military, the authority who's coming up behind you with flashing lights. The authority of people in Sacramento that are creating laws for us. Okay, enough said. And here's the deal. As we walk in the Spirit, God will guide you in this God-designed way. You can fill in the blank there. Learn to respect authority and remember this reality. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a what? Does anybody know that scripture? Okay, then let's turn to it. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, page 647. Every time I say those numbers, I've got to remember it's not that number in my Bible. Page 647, Proverbs 22. I'm going to read that verse. We'll get to that first, and then I'm going to back up a little bit. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him or far from her. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. In other words, remember I had a prof years ago, and some of the guys in seminary started having children, and they walk around with this nice little sweet little baby, and this prof would say, he was just black and white. He said, "What a cute little bundle of depravity." Are we talking about my baby? My kid? You could have stopped with cute, couldn't you? Well, it's a bundle of depravity. That child, by the time that child is 6 months old, they let you know when they don't like the way life is going. They let you know if they don't like what the rules that you're, or the plans that you have for them. Huh? Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and that child is going to be, we as parents, and maybe on throughout our lives, we're going to have to share some wisdom with us, with them. Go back to the beginning of that chapter. Because of this, how is a parent supposed to treat his child? They want to teach them. Here's the curriculum. A good name, verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. That's a good lesson for a family, isn't it? All our lives, we have the opportunity to teach that to one another, but especially we have that responsibility to teach that to our children. How about verse 3? A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. Understand, there may be a price to what you have to pay. And a parent has the responsibility, moms and dads have the responsibility, children, to let you know when the path that you're going down is foolish. And if they don't share with you that this is foolish in principle words or by just a simple, subtle statement made aside over dinner. Well, there he goes again, telling you, but listen, children, obey your parents and honor them. How do you go about honoring your parents? Just a few thoughts. You can write down these words. I'm just going to list them. You will honor your parents, even if you were not raised in a Christian home and your parents weren't wonderful believers. Listen, you can honor your parents this way, by pursuing wisdom, by pursuing truth, by pursuing respect. Earn respect, but also show respect for people. You honor your parents when you show respect, not only for their friends and your friends, but respect for people in the community, respect for people in our church. We honor our parents by showing kindness and by showing prudence before God. We honor our parents by walking in the Spirit, especially if they're Christian parents. We honor our parents by fellowship within the body of Christ. We hear our parents say, "Did you go to church today? Are you involved in a church? Are you involved?" Like when your parents said to you, "How are you involved?" You want to say, "Oh, mom, oh, dad, come on, yeah, okay, it's been a while, but are you involved in the church? Do you understand the dynamics of fellowship where we share in common?" With each other. We honor our parents. We honor them by really by really fellowshipping, participating with the people of God. Why would a workday be so important? Why would teaching in a class or helping with a class or helping in the kitchen or taking offering, why would all of these tasks be important? Because it's participating with the body of Christ. And that honors our parents. Yes, God can guide our steps, even if it so happens that our parents are not believers yet. We can honor them. You know, I know that some of you have heard me say, I can remember being chased around the dining room table by my dad. I was able to stay just about, you know, at 180 degrees from him on a couple of occasions. And I was a teen who knew the Lord, but was at that moment in time probably having difficulty showing honor for my dad. And I knew that my dad said, he let me know that honoring him involved my conduct at school. And honoring him, I was discovering during those teen years, that honoring him meant understanding, even from that man who was not yet a believer, what it meant to follow his authority and listen to his wisdom at that point in my life. Respect. Children, honor. Obey and honor your father and mother. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Listen well to them. Make sure that they know that you are listening, and that you are seeking to understand them. I hear you. I hear you. Okay, Dad, I hear you. But to a dad, it is, let them know that you're seeking to understand where they're coming from. Would your children, parents, would your children know that you're still seeking to understand them and their circumstances right now? I don't care what their age is. They may have graduated from college and university. They may have graduate degrees. They may have been in a job for a long time. Do they know that you're still seeking humbly to understand them? Help them examine their purposes and strategies as well as your own, as well as you coming to terms with your own purposes and strategies. I want you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Again, if you're using that Bible in front of you, page 644. Proverbs 20. These are some of the most influential verses to me over the last 20 years in trying to understand my own kids and myself. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. It says this: the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. What's that saying? The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters. You know, sometimes I have objectives and purposes that are pretty shallow, but they come from a very deep place in me. I don't know if that makes sense. I have some very shallow, not very worthy objectives. Maybe I want to be known. I want to be known as an amazing pastor. That's a pretty shallow objective. To be known, boy, all over Whittier. all over Southern California. I want to be known as that. Pretty shallow. But that might come from a very deep place of personal insecurity that may have been tracking me all my life and causing me to be a shallow person. My children need, as they grow through their elementary years and then junior high and high school and on into college, they need to know that when we are in the midst of a conflict between us, and we're just not seeing eye to eye at all, they need to know that I'm there to help both of us understand what our purposes are right now. What are we after? Maybe that child needs to come face to face with himself or herself and understand that what they're really after is not something that is going to be enduring, is not something that's going to have a good outcome with regard to some other purposes that are much, much purer and much more important in their lives. Their objective might be, it might just seem on the outside, their objective might be, I want the latest gadget. I want the latest technology. I want, this has to be right now, this way. And they might need to just understand, and what is it that's driving you? Well, it might be what's driving them. The purpose of their heart is that they feel like they'll always be left out. And that thing that they can hold in their hand is a passing thing. What they really need to examine their objective, and I'm having a conflict with them in the midst of that, we need to examine where we're both headed. Maybe I am just not coping with the fact, this is on my side, that I'm losing control over my child, over my teen. Between the two of us, we need to understand the purposes of our hearts. Then help them learn how to go to God for the answers and for the value that he's wanting to teach them. Slaves, obey your masters, your earthly masters in everything. Learn to be content. Paul is talking about slaves. Then it was part of the economic system of their day. At this point in time, it wasn't. Well, slavery was probably in almost all cultures a bad thing. Probably in some, it was just the economy. It was what it was, and that wasn't the issue that they were faced with. Paul had a very, very firsthand exposure to this. He led a man to Christ in prison. You remember his name? His name was Onesimus. And Onesimus showed up. He was a runaway slave. And Onesimus showed up, and he was within the ministry of Paul. And Paul led him to Christ, and Paul discipled him, and Paul sent him back to his master. And his master was Philemon, just a short little book of the Bible that's just full of powerful truth. And Paul didn't say, Philemon, you should know better than to have a slave. He just sent him back and said, Onesimus, I know you ran away. Now you got to go back, and you're a believer in Philemon. I led Philemon to Christ too. So in essence, you guys are brothers, right? So you're brothers. Go back to your brother. And you'll have to pay whatever the dues are. But he also said in that letter to Philemon, if he owes you anything, go ahead and charge it to me. That was pretty cool. And then he said, by the way, you actually owe me your life too in Christ. So I trust that this will be a good relationship. So Paul writes, and he says to slaves, and he's talking about inside of a Christian household, and probably many other followers of Christ there in that home. And Paul said, you need to, in essence, you need to learn to be content. You need to serve well, since by God's grace, you are so employed. You're employed by this person. And these words, these ideas jump right across time to all of us. So you're employed by this person who has authority over you. Work to please your ultimate master. Respect this authority in your life, trusting God. And you will receive an inheritance. You may not get that inheritance here. You may never get land here. You may never get a 401k that is satisfactory to you. Okay, but still do your work to please God, not to win the favor of this man. He's speaking. He jumps. This truth comes across time, speaking to earthly masters, bosses, employers, people who are above you in the chain of command. The only exception is if they tell you to do something that is absolutely in violation. This is true for all submission. If it's an absolute violation to the expressed will of God, found where? In his word. I could tell you, it's God's will that you all give, grease my palm with $1,000 today. It's God's will. Come on. Just on your way out, I'll be standing there with I won't say it. Masters, provide for your slaves exactly what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Whether that's wages, food, shelter, care, respect, understanding, fellowship with them, fellowship, working with them, and always extend his grace to them, knowing that you have what you have as well because of his grace. And you're under his authority. So extend it to them.